1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." Paul's instruction to Timothy. Last week we concluded a series of journeying with God. We began by joining the people of Israel and exiting out of Egypt, and then the whole walk of faith going through the wilderness, which included a lot of grumbling, a lot of complaining, a lot of judgment happened. And finally, they enter the land, and this new style of warfare, march around Jericho and do that once a day for 6 days. Then the seventh day, do it seven times and blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls would come down. That's an unheard-of strategy. I don't think it's been ever duplicated since. And then we end it with they went to Ai, and there was sin in the camp. Achan had taken devoted things from Jericho and hid them in his tent, and the entire camp suffered for it. And that's a key in our Christian walk and our Christian growth, is to remember, first of all, our past victories. Remember what God has done for you. And then remember the times that you blew it. And, you know, like if you're into boating at all, you know that you get good charts and it shows you where the reefs in the water are. You want to avoid those. And I've developed a lot of reefs in the waters of my life, and I need to navigate those and avoid them. And then reaching for the prize of the goal. Paul said, if you think you got something to boast about, I got something to boast about. Tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he goes, you know, circumcised the eighth day, all those things. He says, but I count all of those things as refuse. The old King James Version, I count it as dung, just worthless. And I press on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that I may attain unto the resurrection. And he's not talking about the future, that when we're going to be resurrected and stand before him. He's talking that we would walk right now, today, in resurrection power. And that's the vision that God wants to give us for where we're at today. Regardless of your position in life or your age in life, you know, I like that word, that there's some here that are young, you know, like Brody. There's some that are middle-aged like me, and then there's the old like Bob. I snuck that in. My daughter just says, you're getting closer to Bob than to Brody. It's any consolation, Brody. The Lord tarries, you're going to get closer to me too. Amen. We're going to begin a new series of devotionals, Walking in Our Calling. And I'm going to challenge you this morning, not in an accusatory type of way, but I want to challenge you with three principal things that every one of us is called to. And then next week, we're going to launch into a more specific understanding of walking within our calling involves walking in our giftings. That will take us a little longer. We'll be doing just an introduction next week to three primary portions of Scripture. We're not going to cover all of the giftings. They're just, I mean, it's just a long, long task. But we're going to look at Romans 12, which is the motivational gifts. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, which are the spiritual gifts. And then we're going to look at Ephesians 4, which are the ministry gifts. But that's next week. This week, we're priming the pump, getting you ready for what I feel the Lord would have us develop by way of the devotionals for the next, probably take us through the summer. So here we are, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. That was verse 1. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's a whole series right there in the third verse. It doesn't say create unity. That's something that is in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. And he says, you need to maintain it. And I think that's got nothing to do with the introduction or anything else. It's just where I'm at right now. That's why in Romans he says, you mark those that cause division. Unity in the body is not optional. It is vital. And where there's disunity, there's no manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. One amen. It's the truth. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your calling. Notice the emphasis on calling in these few verses. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every individual here has received a measure of grace. Well, that's another whole series of devotions. That measure of faith, it is within our abilities as believers to increase it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to grow. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So there is a measure that's given to you, but the measure you have isn't capped. You can grow it. Verse 8, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. We preface every message and every bulletin note with 1 Timothy 4:13. So that's my basis for looking at. Within the introduction, there's a number of portions of Scripture that I want us to quickly look at this morning. We're not going to read the entire chapters, but we're going to read a number of portions of Scripture. These are all the primary references in the New Testament to calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the reason I'm doing this is important. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. No Scripture stands alone or is of any private interpretation. Now that has two primary meanings. One, that he doesn't give one understanding to me and a different one to Justin. The word of God is the same to every believer. And no verse of Scripture stands alone. It stands in context of everything that God has said. So we're looking at calling this morning, and I want you to see the primary portions. These are the references to that word in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. If I read nothing else, that's a command of the Holy Spirit. You need to consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world. I'm still not. Not many were powerful. Still not. And not many of noble birth. It was the Queen Mother who made the comment one time. She said, if it wasn't for one letter, I wouldn't have been able to enter in. It says not many. It doesn't say not any. The letter M. No. We need to have a right perspective of ourselves. Chapter 7, verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Now, the subject there is to marital relationship. But I want you to notice the emphasis. God says you're called. We don't just wander into the kingdom. You were called. You were foreknown before the foundation of the world. God saw you then. He knew your response and he called you. Ephesians 1:18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches, please read this properly. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? We often talk about what we receive in salvation. But notice this talks about what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in you. We need to understand this, that God, when he saw you and when he saw your response, he called you and he's getting something worthwhile. He says, now I want you to walk in it. Don't degrade yourself. Don't put yourself down. 4:1, which we've already read. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then verse 4 again. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your calling. Are you starting to get the impression that God says you're called? You aren't here by happen chance. You are called by God. And you responded. I was cheating during the song service. It's been many years since I'd seen Nick. And I'm not saying this to embarrass him nor to praise him. But I was watching him as we were singing. He was standing there and his hands were like this and his head was back and he was letting it fly. Nick, I think you're more responsible than the dog now. You've come a long way. You really have. And to see you responding to your calling, serving at Circle Square. And it brings ease to my heart because Johnny was not the most confident of drivers. You hear that laughter? That's her version of amen. And here's the two of them and the dog getting in the car. And I was really worried for the dog. and to see you today and to see you responding, because I kind of lost track of you there for a while. And when I heard that you were going to be the camp cook, wow, praise God. There are seasons, and you're entering into an expanded season of your life. And I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I declare unto you by the word of the Lord that as you respond to the call of God in your heart, things are going to happen and things are going to open for you. I really feel it was a divine appointment that you happened to be here this morning. None of this is in the introduction. 3:14 of Philippians. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. John, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing the call of God in your life to the prize? And what is that prize? That prize is that when we see him, we will be like him. You know? And there are days that we don't understand. As Cheryl prayed over Rachel, there's things you don't understand. And Ruth, you have a special gift with music, and I think you're one of those people like me that loves that old hymn, will understand it all by and by. I'm a long way away from understanding it now. But in the meantime, I'm going to walk in faith. It's that journey of faith that we're on. And when we see him, all doubt, all confusion, all why will be eliminated. Amen? But in the meantime, John, are you pressing on towards the goal of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. That can't be right because there's only 10 verses. Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. That makes a difference. Got to get to the right page. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy. May the Holy Spirit work in your life, qualifying you, not for salvation, that's a done deal, but qualifying you for the outcomes of the calling of God in your life. To this end, we pray for, always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. How many can say amen to that? Amen. That's my desire. And we're challenged to walk in that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. That's a witness to what Paul says in Ephesians 1, that you were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. This is before the ages began. You know? That's you. You're called. If you get nothing else out of the devotional this morning, I pray that you go home thinking, I'm really called. I don't understand for what and to what and how it's supposed to work, but I'm called. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. You're called. Now consider him who called you, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And then 2 Peter 1 and 10. Sounds like the kids are having fun. I hope you are too. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be... No, that's... I'm in 1 Peter. I always thought it'd be great to have twin boys, call one Pete and the other one Repeat. Okay, 2 Peter 1 and 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. John, look at me, son. John, are you diligent in living your life before me? And not always. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Those are all the references to calling in the New Testament, and you'll notice I put an asterisk beside a number of those, and that indicates that I've used that either in the outline or in the text. Now, I know that Larry in the past has told me that he often uses the devotional outline in the bulletin as a guideline for his devotions during the week, so this hopefully helps someone. These are challenging verses because it makes a declaration about who you and I are, and it tells me what I ought to be doing. And I don't always do it. Three primary things that I want us to look at this morning is be holy, be a kingdom citizen, and be a servant. Every one of us here this morning, you have a specific calling and gifting. We're going to be over the next several weeks considering some of these elements. But every one of us is called to be holy, to be a kingdom citizen, and to be a servant. And it begins with that. It's hard for me with my son at times. in this last year and a bit with what he was going through, trying. he thought he had a ministry going, and then COVID hit. And it was done. He was working with kids in an after-school program with an organization, Mission of Hope, and things just disintegrated. And they were supposed to be doing some camp work, and as you know all too well, during COVID, that bottomed out real fast. And it's hard when I'm talking with him to keep the right hat on. You know, sometimes he just needs a dad. He doesn't always need a pastor. And there's this incredible temptation when he's sharing for me just to say, son, back up and you know, start. Remember these truths. Remember what God has said, and remember this, and remember that. And truth of the matter is you guys are in Bible college, there's not many of those verses he doesn't already know. And he's trying to remember them, but the pain of the moment is overshadowing them. Hello? And you just got to kind of let it go, John, and just listen. And the more I listen, the more fearful I get. And the more I have to work at prayer. And we've been praying for a long time, and you as a body of believers together have prayed with us, and now a door appears to be opening, and we're excited about that. I shared with Justin on the way in yesterday. I said, did you get a job description? Because he had one ministry appointment much earlier, and they gave him no job description. And it's hard to achieve their desires if you don't know what they are. You know? So I let Justin read he had forwarded it to me, and I had saved it in the downloads, and it was on my phone, and he was reading it. It's a responsible thing. He's going to have to work hard. He's going to need to walk worthy of that calling. But guess what? We all need to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called. Okay? So here we go. Be holy. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 17 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it was written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I missed the B there. Sorry. And if we call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deed, consider yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. I don't clip and paste. I retype it, so I made a couple of errors there. And unfortunately, when I'm editing, I edit what I believe I wrote, not what I wrote. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a work of, listen, I believe in grace. I believe in the gift of God, the empowerment of God, through the resurrected Christ living in you and the Holy Spirit with you and in you and coming upon you. But let's be clear. What God did by grace, he says, son, you've got to handle it properly. Be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a transaction in accounting. It's called imputation. When you impute something to an account, you transfer from one account, you know, double entry accounting, right, Dave? You know, if you're going to credit something, you got to debit something. So it was taken from Christ and it was imputed. It was credited to you. It was given into you. Now he says, no, you got to walk that way. John, yes. Do you always walk that way? No, I don't. Where did Sam go? He went with them.
That's why it's so loud. Can't you hear
Sam was sharing at the breakfast. He says his initial understanding of God was, God's kind of like my dad. You know, I can't use one of the words that he used, but he says, my dad was a great guy, but don't tick him off. And he says, that's kind of the way I perceive God, that he's a great guy, but if I fail him, if I do something that, boom, it's going to come down. That's not my picture of God. But he says, listen, I want you to be holy, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. And when you blow it, he's going to get on your case. He's going to nag, and he's going to talk, and he's going to push until you decide to adjust that behavior in your life. You know? Be holy. It's a decision I need to make. 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of works, but because of his own purpose and grace. God's got a purpose in you. And he's working it out. Which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and fulfill every resolve of good and every work of faith by his power. God's not going to leave me alone. You know? He's a good father. That's of course, right? He's a good father. And he walks with us. And he talks with us along life's narrow way. And he wants to show me where I'm missing the mark. Not so he can beat up on me, but that so he can train me up into the fullness like unto him. That's a work. That's part of our calling. And if that's not being worked in you, then I pray to God you'll soften your heart and not have it hardened as some did. And Paul made reference by name in these words will never fail and never pass away. He mentions by name those who made shipwreck. And I don't want my name to be among them. Well, holiness is the result of our position in Christ. Salvation, the result of new birth, and the experiential work of the Holy Spirit in our inner man being worked out through our flesh. We're becoming more light and salt all the time. That's part of my calling. It's part of your calling. And I can't remember if it was Sam or if it was Phil yesterday who made the statement, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but I'm not what I was. And that's true of all of us, especially me. Second major point this morning in our devotional is be a kingdom citizen. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You know? Boy, I was raised in a home where, you know, Dad says, as long as you're under my roof, you'll do it my way. And the day you stop doing it my way, you won't be under my roof. Well, our Heavenly Father is not quite that stern, but he says, I will make adjustments in you. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not thrilled with things that are happening in the world right now. But I'm ecstatic about what's happening in heaven. And that's where my citizenship is. Listen, the shortest time you're going to spend anywhere is here on planet Earth. And we better decide how we're going to live that out within our calling. Am I more concerned about the kingdom of God or about the kingdom of what's happening around us? You know? I have a problem when it comes to humor. And I seem to, I don't know if this is true for any of you, I remember humor better than I remember scripture. You know, I don't seem to have to work at that. I remember Roger Whittaker, the South African singer, on one of his albums, he said, all politicians are like bananas. They're all yellow. They all hang together, and there's not a straight one among them. You know, I don't have to work at remembering. It's just, you know, and I don't trust politicians in general, but I do trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know that one of the major themes in Scripture is that God Almighty is going to come and He is going to be king over this whole thing. And there's a whole development. That's the grand story. Is He made this, He entrusted it to us, and we blew it. But good news is, He's coming again. And He's coming with all His saints. And until then, John, you need to learn how to walk holy and walk with me and be a kingdom citizen. And let your light shine and let the salt that is in you. And what does salt do? Preserve and flavor. Yeah. God wants to work that through you and I. Matthew 7:24-27, you can read the context, you know the whole story, but I'm going to give you just verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Listen, John, what are you building? Are you trying to build a kingdom within this world, or are you trying to build the kingdom of God? And build it, and listen, what we don't get sometimes is that whether we listen or whether we and respond, or whether we listen and don't respond, we're both building a house. And get this, the storm comes on both houses. And Rachel, your house is going to be whole. You might be in the middle of a storm right now, but it's going to be whole. I'm watching her walk up the sidewalk, and I'm going, no crutches today. Yeah! You know, I ran to the door to greet her. Yeah. And she says, it's getting better all the time. The storm's passing. I remember old brother Pritchard in Bible college. He said, one of my favorite phrases in the Bible is, it came to pass. Just didn't come to stay. There's only thing, one thing that's coming to stay, and that's the kingdom of God. You know, I need to have that perspective within my calling. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. And I'm picking up at verse 11, but you can read the context. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of each work one has done. We're going to have a testing. You may not like that, but it's the truth. And I know that in my life, I've done a lot of building with wood, hay, and stubble, and what does fire do to it? Kapoof. But gold, silver, and precious gems, that endures. Is the labor I'm doing built on prayer and the Word of God, or is it built just on my desire? And if it's just my desire, it's my kingdom, not His kingdom. And it'll go up in smoke. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do you get that? You're an ambassador. You're here on an appointment. Doesn't matter what your role or your functions are, you're here on appointment. No. The last is be a servant. Matthew 20:25-28. No, notice, you're called to be holy. You're called to be a kingdom citizen. Every one of us. No. My son was starting to question his own calling within ministry. I says, And I put the wrong hat on, you know. Nick, I put on the pastoral hat. I said, you've got to be faithful what God's giving you to do right now. It ain't nothing. It is something. One thing is required of a steward, according to 2 Corinthians, and that is they be found faithful. Whatever you're doing today, be faithful to it. And he who is faithful in little, much will be given. If you want to see the next step, be faithful with this one. And more will be at it. Well, what will be at it? I don't know. God knows. He will lead you. He will direct you. You know? But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and that their great ones exercised authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must, it's a requirement, must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word serve is diakon. If I understand right, it means through dust. You know, from dust he made us. Do you understand Jesus called himself a deacon? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to diakon. No? Well, that changed my understanding of a few things in Scripture. No? Am I willing to be a servant? You look at Paul. In Galatians 1:1, he calls himself an apostle. And then a little later in Philippians, you see, Galatians was written after Acts 15. Now Philippians is written while he's in prison. And he's in prison, and he says, count it all joy, brother. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Joy is used a lot in the book of Philippians, and the guy's in jail. You know, in Philippians, he calls himself a servant. Sometimes we get a little puffy, you know, and we want the title. But we're all called to the role of servant. And if I'm going to walk worthy of the calling wherein I've been called, I need to be seeking holiness, seeking to be a kingdom citizen, and seeking to find a way to serve. I was really glad to serve yesterday morning when I became one of the official bacon testers. Thank you. I was. I enjoyed, you know, it was a terrible job to do, but I did it with joy. Luke 12, 35 to 48. And again, you can read the context. And he says, stay dressed for action, keep your lamps burning. Another portion of Scripture says, occupy till I come. You know, not lounging around. He's coming again, and I want to be his servant. You know, John 12:26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. I want to hear when I get to glory, good and well done, my faithful servant. You know? The conclusion this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Well, listen, the theme this morning is walk worthy of your calling. John, are you seeking to be holy? Are you seeking to be a kingdom citizen? Are you seeking to be a servant? You know? I went to a particular assembly as the lead pastor, and the first thing I did is I got a screwdriver out and I removed the sign on the post that said reserved for the pastor. Yeah, got rid of the parking spot. You know, I was much younger then. And I figured there was older people in the assembly and they needed to be closer to the door than me. And I got rid of it. And one or two in the leadership were a little annoyed. They said, that's for the. I said, listen, that's for the people that need it. I don't need the title. I don't need the parking spot. No. I'm here to serve. You're the lead pastor. I don't like that term. Have you ever looked up leadership in the Bible? There's not many references to it. Most prominent ones are blind leaders of the blind, and they both end up in the ditch. We're called to serve. And if I serve well, others will follow, and that's leadership. I like John Maxwell. He says, if you think you're a leader and you're taking a walk and nobody's following, you're not a leader. You're just out for a walk. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat. And the word there is bema. I'll make reference to the bema seat of Christ throughout this whole series. And it was just a place that you came and you were judged. Do you understand that every believer, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to the great white throne judgment. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you will go to the judgment seat of Christ, and he will evaluate what you have done as a servant. Every one of us. That ought to put some holy terror in me. The judgment seat of Christ. So that each one may receive what is due for what he has... that should be done, not come. Again, like I said, I don't clip and paste. I retype it. That way it gets into my mind more. But unfortunately, then you read it the way you're supposed to be, not the way you wrote it. Whether good or evil. Matthew 25:23. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. We're back at Ephesians 4:1 now. And Coonley, would you go ask Josh if he could come and lead the closing song for us, please? Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, do you regard yourself as being captured by the love and the grace and the power and the majesty and the authority of Christ Almighty? Do you regard yourself as a prisoner unto him? Not constrained by bars, but constrained by love. Nails and ropes didn't hold him to the cross. He could have come down at any point, could have called legions of angels. Love kept him there. And what keeps me faithful to him? Paul said, the love of God constrains me. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. If you believe as I do that every word is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he says, I urge you, that's an important word.